Hey, good morning, Church Online. Welcome to Church on the Rock. Thank you guys so much for being tuned in with us this weekend. I want to start by saying happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there this weekend. I hope today you get to eat what you want, do what you want, take a nap, or whatever it is that you do. I hope that today is a day that feels unique and special. Thanks to all the dads for doing what you do. Listen, fathering matters. So thank you for leaning into your families, for serving them, for loving your children. You guys are amazing. Happy Father's Day from us to you. We are going to get into part number three of a sermon series that we are calling Detours. The idea behind this series is exactly this. Sometimes things do not go the way we plan. I think that every single person watching or listening to this message today can resonate. There's probably been a time in your life where you say, yeah, it didn't exactly go the way I hoped, the way that I planned, the way that I thought, or even the way that I expected. And when that happens, it can be very disappointing, it can be discouraging and disheartening. If we are not careful, it can really throw us for a loop. And here's what I want to say to you. If that's you, you're normal. You are like the rest of us. It's difficult when things don't go like we plan or the way that we desire. It's very normal for you to feel sad, upset, or thrown by that. In this series, though, we're looking at different characters in the Bible and stories from Scripture of people that experienced that very thing, and yet God moved in their hearts, their lives, and their stories in mighty and powerful ways. Today, we're going to take a trip to the zoo, all right? That's where we're going today, and we're going to focus on the lion's cage, everybody. We're going to the book of Daniel. We're going to talk about a very well-known story in Scripture about a man named Daniel and the way that God would use him in relation to the people that God had called him to serve and be a witness to, and the way that God used a zoo creature, a lion, in the story. Let me give you the context today before we get into the verses that we're going to read. And here it is. We have all of God's people, Israel, are in Babylonian captivity. So they are under the oppression and the rule of another people. Now, if you've been with us at all this year, and especially in this series, all I've talked about for most of the year is the story of Israel being in Exodus. There's a theme, if you notice, of God's people being under an oppression, being under some sort of a burden, some sort of a barrier, some sort of mindset of slavery. This is exactly what Daniel and his people were experiencing at this time. Here's what I want to say to you and to me. That is the same thing that is happening in our lives today. We may have the privilege, the distinct privilege, to live in America and be free, but here's the reality. The oppression of worldliness makes us feel like these people felt, that people don't honor the God that we love, people don't respect the decisions that we make to walk in obedience to Him. The same kind of pressures and the same kind of oppressions that they may have felt then, we really feel in a lot of ways today. So the idea in this series is like, how do we live our faith out loud anyway? How do we walk in obedience and faithfulness to God when it doesn't go like we plan? So here we have Daniel. He is a captive in Babylon, and he has been selected along with a few other Jewish people to have some important roles and positions. And here's what the Bible tells us about Daniel, that he distinguished himself, the Bible says. Like he was pretty smart, he was pretty capable, he showed a lot of aptitude and a lot of ability, and so he actually had elevated himself in their governmental structure to a very important place. He was so good at it, in fact, that the king wanted to put him in charge of everybody, including the people from Babylon that were in similar roles. Well, that creates some jealousy and some frustration. There is some like inner office rivalry, apparently, and some turmoil. We're going to pick the story up there as we go in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 3. And here's what the Bible says. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, which is just a word for a leader, because an excellent spirit was in him. I love that. And the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they couldn't find any ground or complaint, no fault. Like here's what it's saying. He is a stand-up guy. He does what he should do. He does the things expected of him to be done, but they couldn't find any fault in him because, and here's where I want you to focus today, because the Bible says he was faithful. He was faithful. That's what we're going to key in on today. So there was no fault in him because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Verse 5, then these men said, "We shall not find any ground or complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with his God." So here's what they're saying. Like, he does all the right stuff. He shows up on time. He works when he's at work. He does the things expected of him to do. He's pretty smart. Let me put it in my language. He's earned his spot. He does the right stuff. And so what they discover is like, well, we want his spot, even though we think he's better than us. So the only way that we're going to set him up is if we find something that conflicts with his faith in God. And so here we go. They decide that they are going to set a trap because of their jealousy. They are going to set him up to fail because they would like to be where Daniel is. And so they go to the king and they stroke the ego of the king. Listen, all of us love to be patted on the back and affirmed. Feels good when people tell us that we're great or that we've done a good job. And that's a good thing, by the way. Everybody needs affirmation. But these guys are doing it with some selfish ambition. They say, "King, you're awesome. You're the man." And they just stroke that ego. And he's probably feeling grateful and appreciative. "Oh, man, I love that you guys respect me and appreciate me." And they set Daniel up. And they basically say, "Hey, we just want to have a period of time where, like, you get honored. Like, you're the man. And we just want everybody to honor and applaud and praise you. And if anybody was to applaud or to praise anybody else, that would be a problem. And we should punish them." I don't know how this conversation went. I have no idea how the decision was made. But ultimately, the king says, "This is a great idea. Let's do it." And so anybody that would praise and honor anybody else other than me for this period of time, we're going to kill them. All right, we're going to pick up the story. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down," and I want you to notice these words, "as usual, in his upstairs room with his windows opened toward Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times that day," watch this now, "just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." There's something here that I love about Daniel. It's his consistency. I love that word. I love consistent movement. I'm a guy that likes rhythm. I like to know what to expect. I like to know what is planned. I like a Tuesday to look like Tuesday every week. I like my Wednesday to be my Wednesday every week. When things go off, it's a little harder for me to adjust. I like rhythm. I like consistency. But I want to dig into this just a little bit because Daniel is a guy who's trying to honor God in a culture and a world that does not do that. Here's what I love about Daniel is that when culture got louder, so here comes the world around him oppressing his faith more. Culture is elevating its voice and it's getting louder. Daniel doesn't get louder. He stays consistent. Can I preach right here for just a moment? I want to say something to the faith-filled followers of Jesus that are tuning into this message right now. I think that oftentimes the sounds of culture and the push of worldliness around us sometimes gets louder than other times. There might be agendas that move during certain periods of time. We get all up in arms when it's time to go vote or when there's some sort of attention going on in our world or whatever it may be. And oftentimes we feel the increased noise of worldliness rising up around us. And then here's what we have this tendency to want to do. Raise our voices and rise up against it and speak. And so listen, this is a great opportunity for you to take my words out of context, so don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that there aren't times that faith-filled followers of Christ should not use their voices. There are times that we should stand firm and bold against the attacks of the enemy or against things that are happening. But here's what I would like to communicate is that I actually think that God honors consistency. And Daniel had this attitude of consistency. The rise of the cultural pressure was elevating. Daniel did not elevate. Daniel did not get loud. Daniel did not go to King Darius and say, I've been set up and this is not right and I'm making a stance and I've got a position and I'm going to use my platform. Here's what Daniel did. He continued to seek the Lord just as he always had done. He just stayed consistent in his pursuit of seeking God. I want to dig into this a little further because the story would continue. Here goes Daniel saying, hey, I heard that this rule was made, and I know that if I go against the order of the king with what I've always done, I know, let me put it in context for us, that if I just stay faithful to God, if I just continue to seek his face, continue to get into his word, continue to call on him in prayer, if I continue to be faithful to give, faithful to serve, if I continue to be faithful as a follower of Jesus, as a witness to the world around me, Daniel knows that if I do those things that God would call and ask me to do, it's going to cost me something. And Daniel makes a decision. I got to do it anyway. And he goes to his upstairs room, and three times that day, just like he'd always done, he calls on the name of the Lord. So obviously, the people that have set him up are ready for this. They actually have this. Here's what they bet on. They said, we bet that Daniel will stay faithful. We bet that Daniel will do what he's always done. He's proven this attitude and heart of consistency. And our bet is that once this rule's in place, he'll do that. And if he does, we got him. And of course, Daniel does what he does. And they run back like little tattletales, snitches, all right, that's what they are. And they run back to the king and they say, oh, hey, guess what? Remember that rule that you set? Remember that thing that we did and we were patting you on the back and stroking your ego? Remember that? Remember that? Well, guess what? We found somebody breaking the rule. And I'm sure that the king was like, hey, let's do what I said. And here was the issue that King Darius really respected. He thought a lot about Daniel. In fact, he liked him a lot. There was a lot of trust. We had just read that he had made a plan. Man, I got to put this guy in charge of everything. He is pretty spectacular. He's pretty awesome. And when he finds out that Daniel is the one that has broken this rule that has been set, he's in distress. He's like, oh man, in his mind, he's saying, I got to get him out of this. How can I find a way to not penalize him the way that I said I would penalize somebody had they broken this rule? And here's what happens. Ultimately, he determines I can't do it. Like the contract was tight. It was written. It was sealed. And he's like, man, I can't do it. Daniel 6:16. So at last, the king gave the orders for Daniel to be arrested and to be thrown into the den of lions. And here's what the king says to him. May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. So against his wishes and his desires, he's regretful that he even set that law into motion, but he can't back out on his word. He's got to follow through. He has Daniel arrested, and then he gives them this direct word. Hey, that God that you serve so faithfully, I hope he rescues you. And I really can't imagine what's going on in the king's mind, right? Because he's probably thinking like, man, this is like my best guy. This is like my best employee. More things get done because of him than anybody else. I'm about to lose him off my team and off my staff. And I can imagine the turmoil that's going on inside of his mind. Plus, just on a relational level, it sounds like the king just likes the guy. Like, I just think he's a good dude. And I appreciate him. I have respect for him. And the Bible says that all night long, King Darius is up. He can't sleep. He refuses his normal entertainment. He's just freaking out. Man, my friend, my colleague, my employee, he's in a bad spot right now, and he doesn't feel good about it. And here's the thing that I want us to see. I want you to see what Daniel's faithfulness got him. I just want you to notice, what did his faithfulness get him? It got him a trip to the zoo to see the lion cage. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. And it just makes me question sometimes, like, is that fair? Is that right? Here's the question that you might be asking. You might be saying like, yeah. Like, what about me? This is exactly where the idea of why does bad things happen to good people come from. That's where that question comes from. And listen to me very carefully. I want to unpack this just a little bit, because I want to say something that is very bold. Okay. It's very bold and it might not feel good, but I'm going to explain why it's true. Bad things do not happen to good people. We are not good people. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Our righteousness, our best efforts, our best work, the Bible describes that as filthy rags before the Lord. But here's what I also want to say, that it makes sense to me, that there are times where you could be like, man, but it isn't right. Daniel was a nice guy. Daniel was good at his job. Daniel was well respected by all authorities. Daniel was so good that there was like jealousy about him. And this isn't fair. And here's the point, is that there might be times in your life, you might be living in that moment right now where you say, this isn't fair. I've been faithful before the Lord. And this is what I get. I've been walking with him, serving him. I pray, I read my Bible, all these things. And this is what I get. This is the reward for my faithfulness to the Lord, that I'm being thrown into a den of lions, whatever that might look like for you. This is what I get. And there are times when the detour sign comes, and that's what we feel like we're getting after all this effort, that we feel like, God, this isn't fair. And again, this is another bold statement, okay? But we don't want God to be fair. I'm glad that God is not fair. If God was fair, I would have to pay for my own sin. But God's not fair. He's gracious. And he gave me Jesus. And he gave me the opportunity to receive what I didn't deserve. Grace abounds for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. Grace abounds to the world, anybody that would accept the gift of Christ Jesus. And here's what we have a danger to do. And here's what Satan would love for you to do. Satan would love for you to build a list of self-righteous action. He would love for you to say, I've been a Christian for this many years. I go to church faithfully. I give, I tithe, I serve, I pray. I read my Bible. I do things for others. I go outside of myself. And he would love for us to build us a list of self-righteousness. God, look at all the things I've done for you. And then to present the case to God, shouldn't I deserve your favor? Shouldn't I deserve your blessing? Here's the danger in that. The Bible tells us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2 that it is by grace that we have been saved. It is not a work of ourselves, but it is the gift of God to salvation. It is not my self-righteous actions that gets me God's favor. It is the completed work of Christ Jesus on the cross that gets me favor before the Lord. And I know, I understand that there are times in our lives where we just think, gosh, man, I've been doing all the faithful things that God has called me to do, and it's not going like I planned. Today's message is for you. Let's continue this story. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to go verse 19. The Bible says that very early the next morning, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God. I want you to notice this, right? Was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the den of lions? Verse 21. And Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lion so that it would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. And they lived happily ever after. It was an amazing story. Daniel was faithful. He was wrongly accused. He was set up to fail. He was thrown into a den of lions. He had a detour sign that took him in a path he didn't expect. And then he calls on God, and his superior and his friend is hoping, like against hope, like, man, I hope Daniel's there in the morning. And then he comes to the lion's den. And what does God do? Shuts the mouth of the lion, rescues Daniel. Daniel becomes a prominent figure in the community. He becomes very, very powerful. Everything that King Darius wanted to do in his life and wanted to give him, he gave him. And it's a happy ending. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But you might be listening to this message right now saying, that's not my story. That's just not how it worked out for me. I still lost my business. I still got fired. The detour sign in my life means that my child didn't make it. My family member still has cancer. The person I'm calling on God for is not healed, and I'm watching them suffer, and I can't understand why I don't get the happily ever after ending like Daniel. Boy, that would be really, really nice. And in your life right now, you might be feeling a tear that I don't understand why I'm on this detoured path, and I don't understand why God isn't responding the way that I've seen Him respond in Scripture, the way that He responded for Daniel, saved him from a den of lions. And me, I find myself in a very figurative, like, den of lions. Feels terrible, and I'm afraid, and I feel like they're about to eat me up. And here's what I want to say to you. Listen to me very carefully. I would never, ever diminish the pain or the reality of your story. I would never say, hey, you need to be more faithful. I don't think that's the answer, actually. I would never say to you that you need to pray more, or that you need to do more, or you need to not do more. You need to... Listen, here's the reality, that sometimes it just doesn't go the way that we planned. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. We really don't have an explanation for that. And I've been listening to, reading some books and listening to a pastor, and there's this thing that he says that has really stood out to me personally in my own life. When he talks about things like this, here's what he says. He says, it's hard for us to understand, but God is not a God who does things fair. God is a God that does what He wants, when He wants, with who He wants. Why? Because He's God. And because we can't understand the grander plan. We don't know what He knows. The Bible says that His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways, they are not our ways. So as we conclude the message today, I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 11. This is in the New Testament of your Bible, and if you're not familiar with this, this has been nicknamed by a lot of pastors and churches and Christians. It's been nicknamed the Hall of Faith. It's this list of people that their faithfulness was seen and responded to by God. It's this entire just list. And I'm gonna read you the first sentence of a few of the verses here in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says that it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven and he never died. It's pretty crazy. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God, and when God called him to leave his home and go to another land, that he did it. Verse 11 says that it was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were too old, but Sarah had a baby anyway. It was by faith, verse 17, that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice to God as he was testing him. It was by faith, the Bible says, that Isaac blessed his two sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. Verse 23, it was by faith that Moses, we've talked a lot about Moses this year. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months so that he wouldn't be killed by the Egyptians. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated like the son of Pharaoh's daughter, went out to the wilderness to become a shepherd. It was by faith that the people of Israel, we just talked about this two Sundays ago, went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not die with all the others in her city who refused to obey God. And then I'm going to read you two verses, verses 33 through 35. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, that's what we're talking about today, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from death. This is amazing. Happy ending after happy ending after happy ending. But I'd like to actually read to you the very next few verses. The scripture actually says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the people that God saw operating in their faith would be too great for the Bible to even list them. Scroll upon scroll would not archive their stories and the detail of their faithfulness before God. But here we go, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 35 through 40. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God. in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. And others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so they would not reach perfection without us. The question that I would ask is like, why would God respond so mightily to the first half of the chapter and not to the second half? Why would God heal your friend's family member, not yours? Why would God give a testimony story to your neighbor and not you? Why did they seem to get the answer and you got the detour? I think it's a good question. In fact, if I was on the detoured path, I think it's the question that I would be asking. God, why? Why? Here's what I want to encourage us. That God is speaking into the followers of Jesus a mindset and a heart of faith. I think that Daniel's faith grew because of his consistency. I actually don't think they're the same thing. I actually think that Daniel's consistency to seek the Lord is what established his faith to stand strong when the noise of culture elevated its voice in the situation around him. I actually think it was that faithfulness before the Lord, the consistency to just, I'm going to pray every day. You might be consistent every day to open up your Bible and read some scripture. You might be faithful and consistent every day to just pray and get before the Lord. That consistency elevates our faith, builds us up, and the sound of culture will rise up around us. And every once in a while, we'll find ourselves on a detoured path. And sometimes God does exactly what we ask for. Man, that was amazing. And sometimes He doesn't. Here's what I need you to hear me say today, is that if He doesn't, it's not because you're less than, it's not because you don't have enough faith, it's because God has a plan that we cannot understand. But here's what I want you to hear, okay? I'm going to finish with this verse and two thoughts. Here's what I want you to hear is that God rewards faithfulness. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 25, is talking about like the end of this life. He's talking with his disciples and he's sharing some things. And Jesus would oftentimes tell stories, parables. He would use illustration to teach. In fact, the Bible says that he never taught without telling stories and using illustrations. And he's telling this incredible story, and at the end, here's what he says, that the master in the story that he's telling was full of praise, and here's what he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Listen to me, as hard as it is to put our minds around and understand, there is more to this life than this life. Here's what I want you to hear me say. God rewards your faithfulness, whether you get what you're praying for, hoping for, believing for, or not. The Bible encourages us not to think about the temporal and the earthly. It encourages us to store up for ourselves treasure that is in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, but to put away our treasure in heavenly places, as difficult as it may be for you today, because your detour is still in a pit with lions, does not mean you're not faithful, does not mean God is not with you, it does not mean that He will not rescue you, whether it's on this side or the other side of this life. Your faithfulness is rewarded by God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you just turn the page. The Bible says this, It is impossible to please God without faith, and anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that He is there and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. My encouragement to you on your detoured path, in the pit that you find yourself in with all the lions, is to continually seek His face. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to end. I'm encouraging us, let's seek God continually so that we can serve God faithfully. I believe that Daniel's consistent pursuit of the Lord is what established his faith and sustained him in the pit with the lions. We are going to seek God continually so that we can serve God faithfully. Listen to me, follower of Christ Jesus, your faith will sustain you. God sees you. The Bible says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He has not abandoned you. He is there with you on the detoured path, regardless of the pain, the circumstances, or the outcomes. He is by your side. Now, I also want to talk to those of you that's like, I've never made a decision to have a relationship with Jesus. And here's what I want to say to you, that you can start that relationship today. And there's a promise from God where He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You step into that relationship with Christ Jesus today and you will always have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, whether you're on the path you want to be on or you're on the detoured path and find yourself in a pit with lions. You're at the zoo. Like, I didn't want to go to the zoo. He will be with you wherever you go. If that's you, I want to encourage you to say this prayer with me right now. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I'm proud of you for saying that prayer. Listen to me, if you're part of our church family and you're walking on the detoured path, I want to encourage you, stay faithful. Seek God continually so that you can serve God faithfully. He is with you. Happy Father's Day, everybody. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.